Loving Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we seek Thy face. Cleanse us by Thy blood. May the power of the cross completely remove the man. Fill us with Thyself. Give us Thy message. We all are needy people. Feed the lamb. Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. Lord, we find there are people who need different kinds of feeding. New need the milk of the Word of God. More grown may need the bread. Christ as the bread from the Word of God. Other may need Thy Word as the honey. Another may need it as the fruit and the meat, the deep things of God. By Thy Spirit, through Thy Word, Thou canst meet all the need. Thy Word is eternal. Thy Spirit is eternal. Thy purpose is eternal. Do something for eternity in our lives. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Turn with me the book of Joshua. Joshua and Israel in Gilgal. Secondly, Joshua and Israel in Shechem. And thirdly, Joshua and Israel in Shechem. Joshua and Israel in Shiloh. That is second. Shiloh. And Joshua and Israel in Shechem. In these three places of halt, the whole book of Joshua can be summed up. In Gilgal, we see God's purpose of the cross. Empty our lives of anything and everything which is of the old creation. In Shiloh, we see God's purpose of Christ-centered church and the fullness. All the fullness of God in Christ. Then in Shechem we see the overflow. Overflow. In the lives of others. Whether they are believers or perishing souls around us. First of all, Israel and Joshua in Gilgal. Joshua chapter 5, 7 to 10. And the children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. It came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp. Two, they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. The very first place where Joshua and Israel stopped was Gilgal. The place where they were circumcised. We see the meaning of circumcision in the book of Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. The circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. After we are born again, we have so much of the flesh. We have so much of the old Adam. God wants to remove it completely through the cross of Christ. The blood of Christ removes our sins. The cross removes our old man. There is different work. The blood works one thing, the cross does another thing. Many God's people only come to know about the cleansing. But very few get the revelation and experience of the cross. Watchmani was saved for many years. He never knew the meaning of the cross. One day, suddenly, as he was studying, the cross became a revelation. He jumped. From that time onward, his life was completely changed. His ministry was completely changed. See what cross means. But in the sacrifice of Christ, he has made the provision of his blood to remove sins. He has made the provision to remove the old man completely. The blood deals with sins. The cross deals with sin nature. And here we find, by the power of the cross, the Lord wants to remove the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. In circumcision, the children of Israel removed the flesh. And the power of the cross, the flesh is removed with affections and lusts. Galatians chapter 5. 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. The cross, the power of the cross, removes the flesh. The works of the flesh. That's Gilgal. That's Gilgal. Then you find also in Gilgal the reproach of Egypt was removed. Joshua chapter 5:9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. The cross even deals with the world.
Egypt stands for the world.
We read in the book of Galatians and chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I may glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. There's so much attraction all around us. In 1 John chapter 2, 15 and 16, John writes, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of God. John is writing to believers. So much of the world comes in the lives of God's people. And their life is world-centered or self-centered and not Christ-centered. Paul said, God forbid that I may glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now you see something more. In Gilgal, Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were amongst them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up unto me, and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua, and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together, and went up. They had all their host and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. Ascended from Gilgal, and destroyed all these wicked kings. One king was their leader, the king of Jerusalem. We can see how Satan wanted to become the king. He wanted to become like God. He has his host, and he's fighting against God, against Christ, against his people. But from the ground of Gilgal, we also get victory over all these hosts. Satanic power. The book of Colossians, chapter 2, 14 and 15. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The victory of the cross. On Satan has become our victory. Now there are two countries fighting against each other. And the enemies see some people already dead. They won't touch them. They will move towards them who are running, have life. They can't shoot those who are already dead. Those who appropriate by faith the power of the cross of Calvary, the devil loses his ground completely. He's defeated. He's defeated. And we who stand on the victory of the cross, devil is defeated. The victory of Christ on Calvary over Satan becomes our victory. Not only in the past, but even today. But many times, when we get victory over all these enemies, the devil says, you have become a mighty man. You have become a very clever man. And there's a danger. There's a danger. David defeated all his enemies. He had so many enemies. When he had fought the last battle and all those giants he had destroyed, after that, we read, he was puffed up. He was puffed up. He wanted to count the number of the host. He wanted to count the number of his army, the number of his people, everywhere. It was against God's will. So many times, when we God's people get victory by the power of the cross over the flesh, over satanic power, over the world, the devil say, what a mighty man you have. You become mighty man. How big you have become now. How spiritual you have become. How victorious you have become. And then the enemy brings our fall. So you find here, after the children of Israel and Joshua had fought with these mighty kings and their hosts, the Lord said, go back to Gilgal. Joshua chapter 10, verse 15. And Joshua returned. And all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. You come back there. They got mighty victory against over these enemies. But the Lord said, you must go back to Gilgal. They again ascended from Gilgal and destroyed many more enemies. But the Lord said, go back again to Gilgal. Joshua 10 and 43. And Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. At the beginning of our life, we face the flesh more. the flesh and the works of the flesh. And we need the power of the cross. But as we start growing in the Lord, we have this enemy, the self. We only hear about the pride of face, the pride of race, and the pride of grace. Many times we are puffed up because we have seen mighty victories, mighty blessings in our lives. And God has achieved so much to us, we are puffed up. As we start growing, the self suddenly and cleverly and subtly starts working. And the lives of many God's people is ruined. So you see, after these two mighty victories over so many enemies, the Lord said, come back to Gilgal. Come back to Gilgal. David has to confess his sin. David had to make an altar. He has to purchase the whole field. He had to pay a very heavy price. And on the altar, there were two different offerings offered. The peace offering, because the sin must be dealt with. We must confess our sins, and the blood of Christ will remove it. That is what we find in 1 John chapter 1, 7, 8 and 9. But in the burnt offering, we see the self is removed. Burnt offering. Every part of the whole offering is removed, cut and burned completely. You see, the temple of Solomon was built on the ashes. We are going to see. The Lord wants to teach us to Gilgal that all that is of the flesh, all that is of the world, all that is of Satan, and all that is of the soul and self, by the power of the cross, must be destroyed completely. That means we must come to the ground of ashes. And Shiloh is the place of the tabernacle, the ground of the spiritual house of God. There are many evangelical churches, praise God, for those who are born again and preach the gospel. There are many fundamental churches, praise God, for those who stand for the word of God. But there are many assemblies that want to stand for the word of God. But there are very few spiritual churches. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. That is the deepest expression in the word of God about the church. Ye, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house. That is the deepest expression. I have seen there are many evangelical people. They are not spiritual. They are not spiritual. There are many fundamental people, fundamental in the brain. Here. And very few here. And in the spirit. What a tragedy amongst God's people. The spiritual church is built on ashes. All that is of the old creation, the flesh, and the world, and satanic power, loses the ground, and the self is completely gone. Then God wants to build within us His spiritual house. Now we come to the second expression. The second place where Joshua and Israel encamped. The book of Joshua, chapter 18, verse 1. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh. That's the second place. And set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. Verse 2. And there remained amongst the children of Israel 7 tribes, which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land, which the Lord God of your fathers had given you? Chapter 19, verse 51. These are the inheritances which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh. Inheritance was not divided in Gilgal, but in Shiloh. Gilgal prepared the ground. The real possession was at Shiloh. A very important message. We need spiritual insight to know it. At the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. Shiloh means Christ. Tabernacle means the spiritual church. And then we read about dividing of the, and there they had got the victory. And then they could possess the land. At Shiloh, Christ. Genesis 49, verse 10. Verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Shiloh is a person, and that is Christ Jesus. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. They sung a new song, Thou art worthy to open the book and to break the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Revelation 5 and 9. Until Shiloh come. Shiloh come. And all the people, redeemed people from every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation are gathered unto him. So what is a local church and what is the universal church? Redeemed people gathered around him. We must believe in the right doctrine. We must believe in the right teaching. And we must protect, we must preserve. But the center must be the Lord. In a spiritual church, Christ is the center. Everything is centered. Worship and prayer and meetings and activity, all centered into him. And then you find there will be mighty victory and the fullness of all God has in Christ will be deposited in you and in me. Shiloh is the Lord Jesus Christ. Tabernacle means the living church. You see? Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 2. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. So, that material tabernacle was a type of the living church. The true tabernacle. But the true church, the spiritual church, is linked with Christ, in whom the whole building fitly framed together groweth. In whom? I believe in the whole Bible. I teach all the doctrine of the Bible. But I tell you, beloved, in whom means something else. In whom means the Lord Jesus. Living person. The crucified Savior and the living Lord. That is what it means to me. In whom, that's the person. On little matter of the scriptures. Fighting and quarreling. And such a hell they are bringing amongst God's people. In whom? First Shiloh and then the tabernacle. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 21 and 22. In whom all the building means all the redeemed people of God of all the tribes and kindreds and tongues and nations. That is what it means, all. You have to connect this word all with Revelation 5 and 9. Redeemed from all tribes and kindreds and people and nations. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. But beloved, you find, before more of Christ may come and the local and universal church may become a spiritual house, we must be found in heavenlies. The land of Canaan also signifies heavenliness. Heavenliness. Christ is found over there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. Ephesians 1, 3. And then you find Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we must be found with Him in heavenly places. Then we shall know the meaning of the spiritual house. Twice this expression comes in heavenly places, in heavenly places, in Christ, in Christ. Then in whom the whole building fitly framed together. You see? Land of Canaan, heavenliness. Land of Canaan, Christ. In Christ. In heavenly. In heaven with Him. Not earthly minded people. The Lord wants that we may take our position with Him in His death, in His burial, in His resurrection, in His ascension, and be found in Him in heavenly places. Then we will know the meaning of in whom the whole building fitly framed together groweth up to become an holy temple in the Lord. And what is the purpose of the church? The very first purpose of the church, the tabernacle, is worship. You find that? I am going to show you first from the tabernacle, then from the temple, and then from the book of Acts. And this is what I find everywhere is missing. What people call the worship meeting on Sunday In many cases, it is not a worship meeting. It is a preaching and teaching meeting. The worship is missing. And you find this in the book of Hebrews. What was the purpose of sacrifices? The burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering? To purge the worshippers. To purge the lives of the worshippers. Connected with the tabernacle. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. So the purpose of the sacrifices in connection with the tabernacle was to make the worshippers. When the temple of Solomon was built, what do you read there? The priests sanctified themselves. And put on white robe and started praising God, for God is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And the temple was filled with the glory of God, and Moses could not stand. You see? The tabernacle was built that God's people may become worshippers. That was the first work. And that is the most important work of any church. The temple, just immediately after the temple was built, the priest was sanctified. They put on white robe and started praising God. I say, for God's glory, we in India are the most growing churches in India. And the secret is worship. Our whole emphasis is in personal worship and collective worship. We have 3 hours in Sunday morning, and 2 hours we give for worship. About 1 hour, after the Christian leader starts the meeting in worship, we start singing song, all centered around praise and thanksgiving and worship of the Lamb. The 2nd hour, we give to the whole congregation the time, open your mouth one by one, brothers and sisters both. And then the 3rd hour, we minister. And these kind of depths of God's word come to us that time. I spent 3 hours every day in personal worship myself. And then I start praying for others. Then I start meditating God's word. This word becomes new to me. We have seen soul after soul being saved. And in 40 years' time, we have seen 600 living churches all over India. When we gather for Holy Convocation, 20,000 believers. Nobody is paid any money. They come from all parts of India. And we have worship. And in Holy Convocation, the meeting starts at 10 o'clock and at 5 o'clock. Poor American preacher won't be able to stand there, I tell you. What to say of an ordinary believer? And that's why I say, if you have to send missionaries, you must send from a church where they have known how to worship. And the church which has known how to pray. Not 10 minutes of prayer. I have traveled all over America. I find in prayer meeting only 5 or 10 minutes of prayer. I said, don't send these kind of missionaries to us. They will collapse in one day there. We will be praying and they will be sleeping over there. What are they going to give it to us? They won't stand. Tremendous spiritual joy is there. You want to see mighty moving of God's Spirit. Beloved, we find hope. This is it. The spiritual standard of God's work is missing even amongst those who are called evangelical churches and even fundamental churches. Not much prayer, not much worship these days. Only fight goes on the letters of the Word of God. Terrible. It's just like a wrestling going on. Spiritual battles are won upon the knees. And then you find here Shiloh, the tabernacle, the worship. Acts chapter 2, where the first church came into existence, what happened? Praising God. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be said. Why men like Peter and John emphasized on worship? The Lord Jesus has taught them the lesson of worship. When the Lord Jesus was born, His name was called Jesus. Matthew 1:21, which means Savior. By the power of His cross, He delivers a sinner from the bondage of Satan and the world and sins. Then His name is called Emmanuel. Matthew 1:23, only after a sinner is saved, then he is brought nigh unto God, and God is brought nigh unto him. Fellowship. And immediately you find in Matthew 2:1-2, we are seeking the King. And we have come to worship Him. Right at His birth, He's teaching that I am come to restore the worship of the living God. The fight between God and Satan started in heaven on the matter of worship. If you have not known, kindly know it today. Devil said, I would like to become like God. Why? He wanted to get the worship. Paul says, and there in the book of Acts you find, oh, Dinah, whom the whole Asia and the world worship, that is Satan's worship. God is Dinah. Whole Asia and whole world worship. Devil wanted to become God to get the worship, and Christ came to restore the worship of the living God. Jesus, Emmanuel, King to worship. See? And this is all what the Lord Jesus was teaching His disciples. When the Lord came walking on the waves, He came in. They got the revelation, Thou art the Son of God, and they worshipped Him. After the resurrection, the Lord Jesus led them to Bethany. They came near Him, held His feet, and worshipped Him. That was the parting scene. Oh, the heart of Christ was satisfied. The purpose for which I came, the purpose for which I shed my blood is accomplished. I have got back people saved and people who have become worshippers of the living God. You know, in Luke chapter 24, 50 to 52, the Lord brought them to Bethany. He raised up His hand. They worshipped Him. And what did they do afterward? They went again into the temple, continued worshipping. Continued praising God. Then 3,000 souls were saved. He said, very first day, you start worshipping. You know, when I win a soul, what do? I just tell you. When I personally deal with any soul, I do something like this. I show that person his sins or her sins. Then, quote scripture about the blood of Christ. Then, receiving, you receive the living Christ in your heart.
in your spirit. Now you pray. He prays or she prays, Lord, I repent for my sin. Lord, I receive thy blood to remove my sins, cleanse my sins, deliver me from the bondage of sin and so on. Lord Jesus, you come in. All right. Then I give that person verses of assurance, in whom we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Ephesians 1:7, so on. Then I say, Lord, see, Luke chapter 19, he received him joyfully. The Lord Jesus said, today salvation has come. Now what happened? Salvation has come. In his blood you have received the forgiveness of sin. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Oh, what have you become? A child of God. 1 John chapter 5 verse 12, he that has the Son hath life. I don't end it there. I say, no, you thank him. The last thing is, I have shown you at least 4 scriptures. I say, I give you 4 things. Maybe my watch, you will say, thank you, Mr. Khan or Brother Khan, for the watch. I give you glasses, you say, thank you for the glasses. I give you the Bible, you say, thank you for the Bible. Then I give you a handkerchief, you will say, thank you for the handkerchief. Do the same thing with the Lord. Lord, thank you, by your blood, you have washed my sins. Thank you, Lord, you have saved me. Thank you, Lord, you have made me a child of God. Thank you, Lord, that I have poured life. Right from the very beginning of a person whom I have won, I teach him to start worshipping. I say, continue like this. Continue. And the same thing, when we preach the gospel, we do the same thing. Peter has done the same thing. Peter has done the same thing. He preached. They repented. What shall we do? Repent. Be baptized. As many as gladly received the word of God, they were baptized. They continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine, in breaking the bread. Breaking of bread is worship. We have breaking of bread, and we have 2-3 hours. We worship, and then we break bread. And the meaning is also made very clear. Praising God, that means they were praising, and they have continued praising. In Acts 2:42, they had started praising, and more were added. They continued, they joined them in praising God. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. Acts chapter 13, as they ministered unto the Lord. What was that? Worshipping. The ministering unto God means worship. That satisfies your heart. Prayer means something we are asking from Him. Ministering unto God means the worship, the prayers in the Spirit which satisfies Him. So fine. The church in Jerusalem was a worshipping church. And the church at Antioch was a worshipping church, and the worshipping church is missionary sending church in the world. If from such a church missionaries are sent, they will become God instrument to turn satanic kingdom upside down. We are seeing, we have entered Pakistan, we have entered India, all parts of India. We have taken teams into Sikkim and into Bhutan, into Nepal, into Persian Gulf. My daughter and my son-in-law, we have sent to Trinidad, and I am going there to hold 2 months of gospel campaigns. I was in England. I started holding gospel campaigns in many parts. In Birmingham, we have full-time Indian worker now. And we saw great moving of gospel. Beloved, worshipping church is a base from where missionaries are sent. If we have not known how to worship, and we are sending people because of much money, I tell you, beloved, that will be a failure. That has become a failure everywhere. And so, that is God's purpose. Shiloh, tabernacle, and the fullness. Inheritance means the fullness of Christ. Inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, which fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. That is Christ our inheritance. Oh, when we are Christ-centered people and Christ-centered church And He is the center, and we pour our heart in worship and prayers and thanksgiving and adoration. There comes the fullness, all the fullness. Land of Canaan, Deuteronomy 88, verses 7 to 9, the place of fountains of living waters. Deuteronomy 8, this is the land. This is the inheritance God has given them. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 7, 8, 9. And the Lord, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranate, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hill thou mayest dig brass. May Christ dwell in your hearts by faith. Ephesians 3, 17. That ye be rooted and grounded in love, may comprehend with all the saints what is the length and breadth and depth and height. The Lord said to Abraham, walk in the length and breadth, then I shall give you. You will know the love of God. Know the length and breadth, the depth and height. And know the love of God experimentally, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God in Christ. That is Canaan. That is Canaan. When they were praying, the temple was filled with the glory of God. And when we are centered around Christ, Shiloh, those living stones are joined to Him, the living stone, joined to other living people in living fellowship and worshiping God. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, 4 and 5, coming unto the living stone, rejected of man, but precious, ye as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices mean prayers. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Sacrifice of thanksgiving, prayer, and the fruit of our lips, let us offer unto God. Sacrifices mean prayers and thanksgiving, and spiritual mean in the spirit. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4 and 24. When we start worshiping Him, God's people are centered around Christ, Shiloh, the tabernacle, the worship. Then we can divide the inheritance, receive the fullness of life. We receive the fullness of power. We receive the fullness of grace. We receive the fullness of the truth. We receive the fullness of holiness. We receive the fullness of His righteousness. We receive the fullness of meekness and lowliness and humility. We receive the fullness of patience and long-suffering and gentleness. We receive the fullness of holiness, that they might be filled with all the fullness of Christ. That is Canaan. Emptiness, and then Christ-centered life, worshipping, praising, filled. First emptiness, then filling at Shiloh. And thirdly, overflow. Worldwide. Hallelujah. What a Savior. That's the divine order. That's the divine order. You see here, the third place you find where Joshua and Israel are found. Joshua chapter 24, verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God.
And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Many God's people are serving other gods. God speaks to Ezekiel, You have built and you have idols set up in your hearts. Anything, any person we love much more than the Lord is the idol within the heart of God's people. We must remove. Otherwise we are serving idols. Then we find verses 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. The Shechem is the place of service with overflow of the fullness received from the Lord Jesus. It is at Shechem. That means when we start serving, there will be overflow of all we have received at Shiloh. It's to be shared with the people who are dying, who are dry, who are empty. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Sometimes, some people, some beggars come in India. They start begging. Give me money, give me money, give me money. Babu, I don't have much. I don't have anything. No, give me money, give me money. I tell you, I don't have anything. I would have liked to give it. Give me money. Then this person has to convince him. Then he says, see my pocket? I told you I don't have anything. I can show you the other pocket also. Many God's people have empty pockets. Empty. They are empty. They don't have the fullness of Christ. The cross has not removed the flesh. The cross has not removed the world and the things of the world from their lives. The cross has not broken down the ground of Satan. The cross has not removed the flesh. It has been self-centered life. But when the cross cuts all that belongs to the old nature, then personally and collectively, we are Christ-centered people. Christ-centered, worshipping Him, praising Him, adoring Him, knowing more and more and more of Christ. And then we are filled with the heavenly inheritance, with all the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. Then we go out, that is Shechem, and serve. There will be overflow of the fullness of Christ through our life, in the lives of those who are perishing. And so you find this happened. They were worshipping or praying. For instance, Acts chapter, in Luke chapter 24, we have seen 50 to 52, they worshipped Him. Luke 24, verse 53, they continued praying. Acts 1, 13, 14, they went on praying for 10 days. Went on praying day after day. Acts 2, 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
That is Shiloh. Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the whole place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9 and verse 11, behold, he prayed. Verse 17, Ananias went and laid hand, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Shiloh, fullness of the Holy Spirit. You see there? And then you find Acts chapter 13, as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. Worshipping and praying. Christ-centered church. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. And chapter 13, verse 9, Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, this wicked man, full of subtlety and so on, won't you stop perverting the ways of God? Now you are blind, and the Holy Spirit walked to him and penetrated in the life of the deputy. And then we read in Acts 13 and 48, many who were ordained for eternal life believed. There was the overflow. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he preached, there was overflow in the lives of others. Paul says in 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 2. From verse 2. For I determined not to know anything amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Paul has gone to Gilgal. Paul has been in Shiloh. And Paul has been in Shechem. I am going to tell you briefly all three aspects of this man. I am crucified with Christ. That is Gilgal in the life of Paul. God forbid that I may glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That's Paul's experience. Galatians 2:20 and Galatians 6:14. We bear in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the life of Christ be made manifest in our life. Paul is found in Gilgal. And Paul is found in Shiloh. His ministry was Christ-centered ministry. Christ-centered life. He was worshiping. Behold, he prayed. That was Shiloh. Praying to whom? Centered around Christ. As they ministered unto the Lord. Whom? They were ministering unto the Lord Jesus. Christ-centered prayer. Paul had Christ-centered prayer and Christ-centered worship. Read it. Behold, he prayed. 9, Acts 9, 11, 17. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, Paul was amongst them. They were worshipping, praising, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, he preached. He preached. The deputy got the overflow of the fullness to his life. Many who were ordained for eternal life, 13 and 48, believed and got eternal life. Chapter 14, verse 1, multitude believed. Multitude believed. So you see, that was the ministry of Paul. He was also found in Shechem. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, God has made us able ministers of the New Testament. not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For letter killeth, but Spirit giveth life.
Many are preaching the gospel, but how much time they spent in prayer? They don't spend much time in prayer.
A group of young people, Chinese, they started singing. They invited me to preach them and give them God's word in Singapore. They started singing. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. And as they were singing, they were jumping and all. When they finished their singing, they said, Brother Jordan Khan from India will speak to us.
I said, all right, young people, good to be in your midst. I understand you were singing this song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. But will you please tell me, how many of you have spent one sweet hour of prayer today before you started singing this song?
Then I looked to them. Everybody. So that I may not point, what about you? What about you? What about you? Everybody like this.
I say, young people, next time you start singing this song, don't sing like that.
You have no right to sing that kind of song like this. You haven't spent 1 hour in prayer. How can you sing like this?
Next time you sing, you say, sit 5 minutes of prayer.
Don't sing like this. I was speaking to many Christian leaders in Indonesia. And I said, how many of you pray 1 hour? Many were there. Raise your hand. Nobody. I said, how many of you spent 45 minutes in prayer? I couldn't see any hand. I said, how many of you spent half an hour in prayer?
Some sisters started struggling hard. They were feeling shy. Yet they
used to spend half an hour, but they were feeling shy. I wish I would have raised my hand when Brother Khan was asking how many of you spent 1 hour in prayer, but I feel sorry that I only spent half an hour. They were struggling. I said, raise up your hand higher. And they raised up their hand, half an hour. My God spoke to him. I said, you preacher sitting here, what about you? A shame to you. You are called preacher. You can't spend 1 hour in prayer. And then you tell to the world, revival is going on in Indonesia. And these Americans come there and they write books and get much, much, much money through these books. No, you can't spend 1 hour in prayer. The Lord says, you could not spend 1 hour with me. When I say any gospel, any person, any believer who cannot spend 1 hour with God in prayer, he and she is a backslider. I am saying this on the strength of the Word of God. Couldn't you spend even 1 hour? That is least, he's asking. Couldn't spend at least 1 hour? That is what the Lord was asking. 1 hour. 24 hours. Oh no, you see, you are full time. This fellow, you see, he's also full time. He come from Northern Ireland. But you see... We have to get up in the morning, but you see, we have to go here, but we have to go to school, but we have to do this work. We have so many excuses. I tell you, beloved, God wants to deal with our flesh and the soul and all what Satan has the ground and the self-life. Then our life will be Christ-centered. A life of worship and prayer. And to worship and prayer, you and I will get the inheritance. What is inheritance? The fullness of Christ. The fullness of Spirit. The fullness of power. The fullness of life. And then, from Shechem we can advance and take all the fullness towards the world. Out of their belly shall flow out rivers of living water. The land of fountains and brooks of water. First the brooks and fountains must flow in. Then alone they can flow out. You see? Out of their belly, out of their inner being, out of their spirit, shall flow out rivers of living water. But note, John 7:37,
He that cometh to me and drink, you see. There is the drinking process first.
These fountains are in Christ. All this fullness is in Christ. But he that cometh to me and drinketh. What is the meaning of drinketh?
The worship. The prayer. The meditation on the word of God.
These are three processes of drinking. Worship, prayer, meditation of God's word are processes to receive the inheritance, the fullness within. Then from Shechem, it will flow out. In our witness there will be overflow. In school and college, anywhere, in preaching. And others will get the overflow of life. They will be saved. They will be born again. And they will get the water of life. And like that, the Lord will touch many villages, many towns, many places. Gilgal. The place of the cross and the place of emptiness. Shiloh. The place where our lives and the church is Christ-centered. We will receive through worship, through prayer, through meditation on God's word, the fullness of Christ. And Shiloh, as for me and for my household, we shall serve the Lord. And in that service, there will be overflow available for those who are dying around us. Shall we pray?